From the high ground of Texas, it's Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle or leash. Got a special edition of the show today. We're going to take, it was a week ago that we covered the newly released Robb Elementary shooting from Uvalde report from the House Committee. I call it the Uvalde Massacre Report. From the only extraordinarily serious or earnest report on that out there from the House Committee chaired by Representative Dustin Burroughs. It's been a week later. There's a lot of things that have happened. But I wanted, as I was frustrated last week in the show, ladies and gentlemen, because I spent all of Monday focused on the stuff the report covered about the attacker, the murderer. And because it was extraordinarily important to cast away a lot of these ideas that, you know, somehow a gun made this person a murderer. And it also demonstrated a lot of other things. But I've been so overcome with news all last week, there's no way I could just take another show or two and go into detail. So I've decided that on this show, we're going to visit with someone who was there for a good bit of the compiling of this report, for the investigations of this report, whose name I mentioned to you was listed in the acknowledgments of the report, and that is our good friend Matt Crow. You may remember that Matt went to Washington with the Reagan reelect in '84, was an advance man for Ronald Reagan, and got to do all that stuff, and then spent an interminable time on Capitol Hill and finally got himself to Texas. Even though he's a San Francisco native, he doesn't know what to do about the heat out in West Texas, but he sure likes the politics better. And so we're going to visit with Matt Crow, and that's our Lone Star Story of the Day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing affordable turnkey drug and alcohol testing programs for business and institutions. Truckers and fleet owners, Allied Compliance is your best friend in compliance with DOT testing regs. Reach the best in compliance at AlliedCompliance.com. Remember, you can listen to the show anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and long-form interviews at PrattOnTexas.com. And as always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. We welcome to the program our good friend, Matt Crow. Matt, you work with Representative Burroughs, who was the chairman of this select committee, along with Joe Moody, a longtime House Democrat, and then recently retired to run for office, and she didn't make it, Supreme Court Justice Eva Guzman. This was a serious committee. I'm not putting down Betancourt and other people over in the Senate. I mean, I think there was a need for public hearings, but this was not a policy hearing. This was a fact-finding hearing. The committee's not recommending, here's what we ought to do, here's, you know, the solutions or anything. And that's one reason this is such a good report. Another reason is it was done by very serious people, and particularly Dustin Burroughs. I'm not a big fan of Joe Moody. Maybe he's a great guy. You know, a lot of people in the legislature like him, but I know that Dustin put his top lawyer skills to work on this. I know that our other friend and one of our sponsors, Ted Liggett, helped out with this. His name was mentioned in the acknowledgments. Very serious people, and Eva Guzman worked on this, and the report is one of the few things like this that I've ever read through that didn't just infuriate me with the, how should I put it, the, you know, if you're like me, Matt, you've worked at this a long time, you can spot the bones thrown to this side and that side and this constituency and that constituency, and they're really just bureaucratic. They're just bureaucrat reports or political reports. There was only two or three sentences of that in this entire report, and it was the allusion to poverty. The rest of the report is very straightforward, and talk about the creation of this report, the time that you and others spent in Uvalde, the time with these families. You obviously released the report to them and the video to them first, and the committee did, but you were down there a lot for this. So tell us about the creation of this report and why people ought to take the time to read it if they're concerned of these things, because I think that you need to stress maybe a little bit the serious nature of this report. Again, it's one of the better government inquiry reports I've ever read.
Well, I'll repeat what Chairman Burroughs has said several times since the report was released. Every school superintendent, every chief of police across the state should read the report. There was a lot assumed at Uvalde on that campus that morning, not the least of which was that parents sent their kids to school thinking that they were going to be safe. And that wasn't the case. And Dustin described a, you know, multiple systemic failures. And it should be required reading as far as I'm concerned, because of that. And there's a lot to learn from the report, which was chartered by the speaker, Dade Phelan. He talked to Dustin. Dustin agreed to do it. They brought Joe Moody in to give it a bipartisan. By the way, Joe is a former prosecutor, right. So he's been around, you know, the criminal court system for a long time. Ava Guzman, of course. And they surrounded themselves with just a very intensive group of lawyers that have prosecuted huge criminal cases, small criminal cases, cases involving police and career criminals, cases involving you know, shooters who similar, you know, activities and so forth.
So I didn't know this, the committee, I knew it did rely on outsiders to take some investigative testimony. And I know they itself met with all kinds of people, including school faculty, teachers, you name it, but yeah. They assembled a team of people with a real background in criminal law and other things
those folks knew how to find witnesses, yeah. What type of witnesses did you want? How many witnesses did you need in this particular, you know, expert witnesses, those types of things. Then of course the testimony under oath was given before the entire committee, but at the same time, you had these professional staff working with you know, the people who were going to come testify, talking to them about their testimony, and making sure that at the end of the day they had a fairly comprehensive list of people.
It wasn't as if they just went after, you know, early on. One of the problems with early on stuff in fog of war is everybody's got an agenda. You got that state senator down there, that quote piece of work, end quote. He's got an agenda. Don't blame our people. You got the mayor. Don't blame our, everybody's got an agenda. Well, somebody has to sit back separate and look at this thing, intellectually and carefully, and I will say this report, it seems to me, and you were there for a lot of this, the committee decided, this is comprehensive. It's not one guy or a cop saying the teachers didn't lock their doors or that they propped them open. I mean, they talked to the teachers right there who teach in that building, right? I mean, they talked to everybody, and that gave them a much better picture than sometimes when you see these things and it's only people with their own authoritative agendas or careers to worry about that get asked, and which happens a lot in government reviews.
Well, in the committee, they prioritized, you know, factual accuracy. It's there in the preface of the report to talk about how they went about doing this. But like you said, in the fog of war, there were claims and counterclaims and information, misinformation. The people in the valley were getting whipsawed back and forth about what had actually happened. So if the client, as you were, of the committee was the truth, and to get to the truth and to get to the facts, they were left to their own devices. Nobody told them who they could interview or who could they not interview. Nobody told them you can't get this person or that person. They offered, you know, they didn't, they only came close to deposing one person who was not really enthusiastic about testifying, but they got around that, and they finally testified. But everybody who was asked to testify, put under oath and sworn, they spent almost 40 witnesses doing that. So started early June, and as you indicated, finished this past Monday in Uvalde.
All right, we'll be back in a moment with Matt Crowe and talk about one of the biggest surprises I found out of the report. This is Pratt on Texas.
Pratt's interview continues after the break.
The name may be Specialty Trucks of Lubbock, but these guys have repeat customers across the country. Why? Because they save you serious money. Mike Crafton and Jason Duncan specialize in finding and reconditioning quality work trucks, including heavy-duty pickups, utility-bodied trucks, bucket trucks, and more. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock can get you the work truck you need and save you money. You can see inventory online at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com or request them to find the truck you need. Talk to Mike or Jason at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
It's bad enough to have your life upended financially. Even worse, with injury due to accident. Have you thought about what happens when the responsible party doesn't step up to make your loss whole? When you've been injured, the Liggett Law Group will work for you with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Now, back to the interview and your host, Mr. Texas, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. I'm Robert Pratt. We're visiting with our good friend, Matt Crow, who was part of the compiling of the House Investigating Committee on the Robb Elementary shooting. Go back and listen to the first segment if you missed that. Just want to point out again, I've read these things all my life. This is one of the best written and best reports I've ever seen. It doesn't seem to carry agenda with it. A trained eye can spot all of that, and it's pretty clean. Matt, one of the interesting things, and you know, as somebody that's in media and like you, always reading all the news and everything, there was a lot of news items that came out over the weeks after the shooting claiming it's breaking news. And I even told the audience, well, no, that's not breaking news. We heard that back in the day of or the whatever, because, you know, you'd been there. It might not have been true, but it was stuff that was out there. One of the interesting things that this report was a little bit shocking in it, you just pick it up and read it, to realize that this border crisis that we are in and this lack of control of our southern border or our border with Mexico, our international border, actually played a real, authentic, true role in this problem. It didn't cause a shooter to go there. It didn't, you know, directly cause somebody to die, but it did. It's very clear that the vigilance on campus was completely relaxed. Even I'm not talking about teachers propping doors open and not locking doors when they're supposed to, and that's the rule. I'm talking about they had just bought into one of these alert systems not long before, and they had been ringing. It's the boy, I call it in a column I've written, you know, from Aesop's Fable, the boy who cried wolf. It's the crying wolf syndrome. And this was serious. This isn't a Republican trying to stick a point in there. It says they had just since February so many of these alarms and lockdowns. And we say with so many in the town I'm from, I think, maybe, what is that, three or four? Oh, no. 50, around 50 of them between February and May, and they were all these bailouts from these smuggler chases right near the school because where the highways are. Talk about
that.
To your point,
during one of the sessions, hearing testimony from witnesses in Uvalde there at City Hall, there was a high-speed chase right down the middle of town there where those two highways intersect. I think it's 83 and 90. And I mean, right as we were taking testimony, the Border Patrol and the state police were chasing a car full of illegals. And so it's not an unusual occurrence.
For people to know what they mean, that what they do is then they crash the car either purposely or they can't make it. It's not like the school was getting locked down because there was a high speed chase nearby. They abandoned the car and all the people in it, the smuggler and maybe drug dealers, maybe whatever, maybe just immigrants, they spread everywhere and run away so that they can't all be caught. And a lot of them got on campus or near campus. I mean, this is actually a very serious point. It's one of the little things the people that want to deny what the border has done, what the border problem is doing to our communities, would never think of. And yet right here in the testimony, tell us a little more about that, because it appears clear there is detail in the thing. What do you recollect from the report about this? Because it appears that people did think, even some of the testimony of teachers were, oh, it's probably another bailout. In other words, there's no urgency.
There was, yeah, there's a couple of sections actually dedicated to this. And in fact, you know, the high speed chase we're talking about, they're a daily event. And there had been 47, what the school district termed lockdown events happened since February of 22. Of this year, and approximately 90% of those being attributed to bailouts.
That's 3 months. So, that's 3 months, March, April, and part of May, a little less than 3 months, folks. So you understand the frequency, why I call it the cry wolf syndrome. By the way, I have a problem with that and why I opposed all these additional cell phone alerts, even though they all look good on paper. These things have come to us so often, we've cut them off on our phones. It's you can't. Anyway, it certainly did show there's a problem, and that's the border getting there. And what was the testimony on the effect of these frequencies, this frequency?
Well, one of the things is that the Uvalde parents became so concerned about the number of bailouts occurring near the elementary school campuses that they offered to hire off-duty police.
Now, that means there was a sense in the community already that the schools were not safe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even with the district and a little fence that had holes in it and that weren't fixed, all these other things, that means the community itself, they weren't expecting the shooter, but they already had a sense, which of course administrators and school people should have understood as well. When, you know, and you and I are political animals, the perception's more than the reality in politics. And that was in the report, right? They agreed to have they were trying to say, we will pay for extra security. Because this is happening so much.
Well, there was testimony that, you know, of course, it was important to notify schools in the vicinity of the highways about bailouts because, as you said, Robert, the passengers scatter everywhere and the district police didn't want them coming on campus.
Yeah, and you don't know who they are. They're not all just nice people. A lot of them are, we're arresting them all every week. Sex offenders, rapists, former convicts, murderers. You know, you don't know who these people are paying these coyotes to take them on these trips, these smuggling trips.
So, you know, the school had what they called it the Raptor alert system. And, you know, the rising prevalence of the bailouts, the alert system didn't differentiate its signals between bailouts and other kinds of alerts, but, you know, like an active shooter situation. And in the report, and I quote here, the series of bailout-related alerts led teachers and administrators to respond to all alerts with less urgency. When they heard the sound of an alert, many assumed that it was another bailout.
Well, and I'll tell you, I have a problem. Look, don't get me wrong. There is a place for these cell phone-based, computer-based systems all these companies are cashing in on, providing to schools and other things. I get it. It's okay. I'm not condemning them. But I'm a systems person since my beginning in business. The systems that are best are the simplest. And you know, they're all, it's another, one thing in this report is give us more money. We got to have better, you know, because part of this was just bad Wi-Fi coverage in there. And then other teachers, but it kind of glosses over. Some don't carry their phones. Some leave them off. They don't want to be interrupted. Maybe the battery's down. And yet it also covers no announcement was made over the PA system. Now, everybody my age and much older than me had PA systems. That is a simple, no cost once it's installed for the most part, other than, you know, a repair once every few years system that works very well. Does it get everybody? Well, yeah, most of the time they have tannoys or what do we call them here? Loudspeakers out on the playgrounds and stuff too. The school I live near has one. I hear the announcements. You see what I'm saying?
Well, sure.
You move to these fancy new things, but then you don't use the proven good thing that doesn't cost a lot of money. And I picked that up out of the report. Your thoughts?
No, it's true. I mean, you know, you and I are about the same vintage. We had morning the Pledge of Allegiance. We had morning announcements, and then we got to work. And if somebody's mother came to school with their lunch, they'd say, please come to the office and get your lunch.
Oh, yeah. In my school, it was always Ramon, come to the office. He was the head janitor. Nice guy. You know, they just used the announcement thing to page him down. All I'm saying is we had systems, and the report says they had it. And yet, and the principal seemed to do okay. I mean, she was in the office, then went to lock down in the cafeteria. Nobody even thinks to turn this on and do it. It's like all these other things. They just get in this idea that everybody's got this cell phone that's always going to work. And I'm a technology guy. They don't. they don't always work. There are always holes in it. And a lot of times, like I say, it could just be a battery's down. And so the teacher doesn't get the alert or she hasn't logged into it. This is just the kind of thing that bugs me because we're spending taxpayers tons and tons of money for this, for something we all believe in. Yeah, we need better school security. But it's just like these plans that the report rakes them over the coals for. They had all these plans on file. They didn't follow the plans. You know, spending this money is an utter waste, and it's dangerous because it gives a false sense of security if it's not really a simple, easily workable system. And we found this out with this software they're using. So,
well, you can and with the teachers themselves, look, you can only react to the information you receive.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And so if you're standing there and you're getting some kind of a weird garbled, you know, message, or you hear nothing over the PA, then what do you assume?
We're out of time. Got to come back in the next segment with Matt Crow.
Stay in the saddle. Pratt on Texas will be right back.
Laugh if you must, but friends know that I had a hard time finding words to express how positive my experience was going to the dentist. Not just any dentist, but Dr. Sylvia Suniga of Dental Care. Money matters too, and it cost us less than half of my lowest quote at home to visit Dr. Suniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica. That included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and a private driver, and much more dental work than those local quotes covered. In fact, I had it all done. No wonder my Lubbock neighbor had been using her for his dental work for years. The work was the best I've ever had, the attention to detail more than you'll get here. If you have expensive dental challenges or just need crowns or cosmetic work or implants, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Suniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, prattontexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Make your home office or workshop comfortable in both hot summer and cold winter with an energy-efficient ductless AC and heating unit from Hart Heating and AC.
The True Texan Studios uber comfortable with a Hart Heating and AC installed ductless unit, and the energy efficiency as well as ease of installation made it the best upgrade I've made in years.
Stop the suffering and take it to Hart. Hart Heating and AC. Beat the heat and the cold with a ductless system. Hart, H-A-R-T, heatingandac.com.
License DACLA 1229 OE.
Plan to join me for the 2022 Hunter's Banquet and Auction on Saturday, August 27th at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center, sponsored by People's Bank. The Hunter's Banquet and Auction features good times, great food, premium live auction, silent auction, and so many chances to win everything from fine art and luxurious vacation trips to guns, knives, more guns, fishing trips, and hunts nearby and around the world. And did I mention guns? Hunter's Banquet and Auction is Saturday, August 27th. Tickets will be on sale soon at LubbockSportsman.com.
With the stories that matter, it's your Texas political swami, Robert Pratt, on Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, this special edition we are spending with Matt Crow, who was part of the compilation of the House Investigative Committee on the Robb Elementary shooting, the Uvalde school massacre. There's so much in the report. I really wish people would read it themselves. It is that good. It is that valuable. Matt, one of the things we were just kind of griping about was, you know, we spend a lot of money on things. That doesn't mean they're going to work. Sometimes the simple and already paid for works just as well, or something like that. There were a couple of other standout issues from the report that I said would mostly be ignored by media and government types, because they show that doing something policies that shoulder people and agencies with cost and time and money may prove to have little return on taxpayer investment. For example, Uvalde had one of these active shooter emergency plans, and it was one of the few districts that actually had one that was recognized by the School Safety Center as being a viable policy. But again, this is a bureaucracy inherently. That's not an insult to teachers or staff. It is a bureaucracy. That's what it is. Plans go in a file. And you may have outstanding leaders occasionally who actually execute the plans, but in bureaucracies, The filing cabinets are full, or the hard drives nowadays are full of plans, but the people just change. Nobody ever does anything with them. And then there was another one. They had the plan. They didn't use any of it, it seems, at all. And then training. That police chief and a whole bunch of other people there didn't just have the active shooter training. They had that elite alert center training. And again, none of them seemed to deploy it. I have a problem with training workshops, and mandates too. All these mandates, because people go do it, they get their certificate. It doesn't mean they learn anything. It's like State Rep John Frullo said on the old, take a horse to water, lead him to water, and can't make him drink. He said, you can explain it to him all day, but you can't make him understand. This is what I think of a lot of this bureaucracy. Address those issues.
Well, and the committee touched on that, what you're describing is kind of a checklist mentality. So we did this, we had this training, we got this program, we've had this exercise. Okay, check that, check this, check that. But so
bureaucracies do that, and even private bureaucracies. I'm not saying just government. Anytime you're in a bureaucracy, somebody has some good idea that came from some good reason. There's some mandate or rule or encouragement to do it, and then they just do it. And in most cases, it's a checklist thing. It's sort of like the county emergency management stuff. In some places, all that's just an utter waste of money. And then in a few places, you have a county judge like we used to have in Lubbock County. And a few of the people that really got into it, and frankly, if something had happened, would be able to use it just because they were personally enthused by it and continued to keep up. But most of the time, it's just a file. It's just a paper in a file cabinet.
Well, before joining the Uvalde ISD Police Department, Aaron Dondo he'd received active shooter training from the Alert Center, which the FBI recognizes as the national standard.
Yeah, the gold standard
we're not recognizing the fact that you can have this mentality of we've done everything we're supposed to do as accorded by the school district or by the community or by the FBI or whoever. But nobody ever thinks about, does it actually work? Well, because we've taken the training, because we bought the software, because we did this and that, does it actually work? And it was never really put to the test at Uvalde for sure, because if they had, they would have found the holes.
But it wasn't just the police chief. I mean, you had 300 whatever other officers there, and nobody, it seems like no one followed the rules. The out-of-town Uvalde police chief told his chief for the day, who was standing in for him, it's a small department, to go set up a command center over the phone. I mean, he seemed to be the only guy that reacted with, hey, that's what you do. And then that guy doesn't even know how to do it, and I'm not going to fault him. I mean, they're on him down there, but I mean, he's not the chief. He goes across the street and we don't need to get into the people, but he goes across the street and tries to set one up in the funeral home over there. The people in charge, nobody took charge. This doesn't just fall on the school district chief there were so many professionals there who could see instantly that there was no leadership and no central command. Somebody needed to take command.
And no one did. And people who, got there a little bit later, didn't know what was going on. The people got there early, and they knew what was going on, but it wasn't transmitted. It wasn't communicated.
Right, because there was no command center. There was nobody in command. In fact, the report says not all of them get alert training, speaking of all these police who got there, but Chief Aaron Dondo and other responders at Robb Elementary did. There was more than him. There were plenty of people. It only really takes one, but there were two or three or four or a dozen. Well, I don't know. And nobody did it.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. I mean, Justice Guzman said during the press conference last Monday at the Civic Center that if you're not willing to, speaking about law enforcement, do what you have to do as far as putting yourself in harm's way to rescue people who may be dead or dying, then you've got to find another line of work. I thought that was a quote that had been generally missed by people, but she was deadly. I mean, she was serious. But that's what's heartbreaking about it, is you sit there and you watch the 77-minute video, and the shooter comes in, walks down the hallway, and goes right in the door, and then things start to happen, and the police are there fairly quickly
but he's already shot 140 something in the 3 minutes, a record response time. Let's give him credit. I mean, just for the little detail, the response time's record, and all it does is prove the point that help is always minutes away when seconds count. Most of the carnage was most likely done in those first few seconds. Matt Crow, you were part of all of this. Tell us other things that stuck out to you.
Well, you talk about information that kind of you know, came out of nowhere. For instance, the speculation that one of the police officers arriving on campus had had the gunman in his line of sight with a rifle, and had asked permission to shoot, and could have stopped the whole thing out in the parking lot of the field next to the school. That never happened.
Well, there's a half truth to that. They did apparently see someone they thought was the shooter, but now we actually believe that was the coach rushing kids to safety. But that was reported widely. I talked about it on the show, and it didn't happen.
The analysis, you know, showed, like you said, the person in black was a school coach, but the officer never had an opportunity to stop the attacker by shooting him. I mean,
that was reported by that earlier report from that the alert group or so. Anyway, they didn't even interview people properly or anything like that. And it was more of this disappointing rushing out there to get something out there and get it in the media. And it was an example of why it's better, folks, to turn the cable TV off sometimes, not talk radio when it's me, but other things. You turn it off in these fog of war situations and you just wait, because there's so many things that get reported that are wrong. And we know from studies that a lot of these fallacies get stuck in the people's imaginations, where even a generation later, everybody believes it to have been true when actually it never happened. This is a real problem.
We've had phone calls from people after the report was put out claiming that, this whole thing was a setup by the cartels to take the law enforcement eyes away from something, you know, that was happening in other places. We've had
calls. That's armchair and coffee shop speculation. Yeah. You know, that's the kind of stuff I just can't handle. What else? You were going to say something else? People have charged.
Well, I think with the report, I mean, just there was so much that went wrong that day. Across such a spectrum.
You can't name one demon, and that bothers people. And that politicians have always known that bothers people. That's why the military usually takes out a big top leader, even when everybody failed, because human nature is they need a demon. They need some individual to demonize.
Well, and this is going to be an ongoing concern under the term accountability. That wasn't the responsibility of the report.
Let's stop right there. We'll come back in the next segment with Matt Crowe.
Brad's interview continues in a moment. Stand by.
Bulletin from Allied Compliance Services. The Federal Motor Carrier Administration has established a CDL driver's drug and alcohol clearinghouse, and your CDL drivers must register their individual accounts. Owner-operators, set Allied Compliance Services as your third-party administrator. Employers may manage their own clearinghouse account, and Allied Compliance Services can assist you with management. Set Allied Compliance Services as your TPA and notify Allied. Learn more at AlliedCompliance.com. AlliedCompliance.com. Was your property damaged by wildfire? Winters Dozer Service has the equipment and know-how to get your land cleaned up and back in shape. Some counties may even have state assistance available, so get with Winters Dozer Service now to get your property back in order. And while at it, plan to build future fire breaks with Winters Dozer Service. Get going now. Visit wintersdozerservice.com. That's wintersdozerservice.com.
Texas owned and operated for 109 years, Vista Bank has grown 83% in the last 3 years because of our amazing team members and clients. So thank you, West Texas, for your loyalty, trust, and for earning us, Texas's top Main Street lender, best of community banking, best Bank of Lubbock 3 years running, and best companies to work for. Looking for a local bank? Maybe it's time you make your move. Vista Bank. Entrepreneurs banking entrepreneurs since 1912.
A big thank you to USA Investigations, who sponsors our Look at Texas History each day. They provide professional surveillance, witness interviews and statements, and much more, including security. Investigate for more at usainvestigations.net. That's usainvestigations.net.
Sharing stories that matter. Here's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas with Matt Crowe on the Robb Elementary shooting report from the House Investigative Committee. As we left off, he was pointing out this isn't a policy or a judgment report. This is a fact-finding report. That's why I say it's so good. It's one of the best I've ever read. Accountability is going to be a whole nother issue later on. But isn't it more important that we simply move forward and make sure that we're doing what we can do within the realm of political possibility. If the public doesn't want teachers armed or teachers don't want to be armed, okay, and trained, fine. I mean, you know, you can only work within the possibilities to do the best you can. That'll be handled later, right, Matt?
It'll be up to the individual agencies to hold their officers accountable. And we saw that start just recently. DPS announced that they were. I'm not a big fan of internal investigations, but that's.
Well, I covered that Wednesday last week, and that was that. That doesn't. So what? All agencies investigate themselves. They need to do that. But unlike what Senator Gutierrez is screaming about, that doesn't preclude any other agency or outside group from investigating them. So, right. You know, an internal investigation doesn't mean anything's being swept under the rug necessarily. It just means they're doing an investigation. You the veracity of it, you have to judge, and other authority like the House and Senate or somebody has to come in and say, oh, we want outsiders looking at it. Let's talk a little bit in the last bit we have. Tell us your other thoughts about this. The attacker himself, rightly not named in this thing because he wanted people keep saying fame. The word is infamy. He wanted infamy. There are so many warning signs on this. I mean, we're not even talking about warning signs where you have to infer something. The guy was called locally school shooter and online and known. There was so much going on this. Why do people shy away from this and not say, hey, there's something wrong, and at least have a threat assessment done or something? Because it seems like even in this case, the kid was even just kind of dropped out of school by the school without any, you know, we hire all this. I saw some guy calling for more counselors and stuff in school. What? I mean, my point is, look at his academic record. There's nobody really working with this kid. Now, he may not have wanted to cooperate, but nobody's really doing much. He's just written off and unenrolled.
It points up a huge, it's an important point. It's probably one of the most important points, and that is people who have children in public schools need to be aware of what's, you know, accessible to them for mental health services, to know about warning signs, to know about where they can go to get advice.
Kids need to know how to tell somebody that another guy's going around talking about shooting people up or something.
And not feel like you're stigmatizing an individual or a family. You know,
that's the problem. We've been taught, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. I mean, this has been the leftist from the sexual revolution on. Everything is do not judge, do not judge. Now, they'll come out and say, oh, he tortured a cat. Well, you got to tell them that because that's a big thing. But see, that's a little pebble amongst a huge basalt or whatever foundation that says don't judge others. And if you read this stuff about the kids online globally, they think this is the kind of stuff it appears a bunch of them are talking about every day. It seems to be right in their wheelhouse. They're not even shocked by it.
He had developed sociopathic and violent tendencies. A lot of people knew about it.
A lot of people knew about it. And the report pretty well makes that clear. I think this Section 4 on the attacker is, just from a, you know, public interest standpoint, the most interesting part of it. And I think on its own, without any, you know, stepping through to the next step on policy or directive or what do? It's pretty self-evident. I mean, the guy's ignored by everybody and he's creepy as hell. I mean, let's just be honest. He's creepy as heck. He's in a small town. They know about him. The family, I mean, the poor grandmother, she's trying to do, you know, what you do. But everybody knows this guy's got a problem. You got a gun store owner that's, oh, no, there was nothing strong or wrong about him. But patrons in the store said, oh, come on. I mean, this is weird.
Well, and he, you know, the social media users reported that, you know, he had threatening behavior. I mean, it was right there in front of people on the networks and on the social media accounts that he had. Nobody chose to report his behavior.
And is that because, this is my speculation, my armchair speculation, that society has indoctrinated these people with do not judge, do not judge. Now, of course, they're quick to judge Christians and conservatives as being inferior. But if you listen to them, their point is never judge us. Everybody, you know, cut our hair however we want. We can, you know, dress how we want. We can do whatever. And yeah, there's freedom. I'm not saying you don't have that. But people are told not to say anything. And in other words, there's talk about his bullying here, but one also has to realize that bullying is also being normal behavior. In other words, a pretty normal person with normal home life values noticing someone who is creepy and weird and saying anything about it is taken as bullying today. Do you see what I'm saying about how far it's gone? Even the rules are designed to keep people from saying something. I'm not talking about being rude and having no manners and being cruel to a fellow child or something, but you see this in the report where the fourth grade teacher says it was all okay and everybody else says it wasn't.
It's a valid question because you wonder what goes through people's minds when they look at the social media stuff and they'd received messages from him related to guns and suggesting that he was going to, you know, they'd hear about him in the news and he even referred to attacking a school. Nobody did anything.
Him a school shooter locally amongst peers and other people and in his international online community. That's how much the guy gave off those vibes and words and real evidence. And yet nobody pays any attention. I get that in South Dallas. It's a huge place with 1 million people. How's that happen in Uvalde? I mean, I grew up in a little town, a lot smaller, but we knew who every one of the creeps were. You know what I'm saying? We knew who to be worried about. And by the way, they weren't all poor kids that dressed funny either. You know, a lot of those were super nice people. We're talking about people who are around someone being able to judge the totality of the person. And it seems to me like all the rules now are don't say anything. We want you to say something, but don't say anything. Because you're not supposed to judge others. And that's what just sickens me. Give a couple of minutes. Tell us whatever else.
Well, let me tell you how to get your hands on a copy of the report. First of all, go to house.texas.gov, and on the main page, you'll see a bar that says what's happening. You'll see a Robb Elementary Investigative Committee report. And then in parentheses, new. Click on that, and that'll take you right to the report. You can download it, read it on your computer. If you can read it in about an hour and a half, if you're going to take a test on it, maybe 2.5 hours.
But, yeah, it's about a three-hour one when you're marking it up like I am and underlining and making notes. People need to look at it.
And important to note, too, that we consider this a preliminary report. We're going to find out things that we didn't know before. And so we'll probably look back and issue some addendums to it. Not addendums, but to some.
It's fairly exhaustive, however. But, of course, new data, new testimony, new things can be discovered in the future. And they were very careful, like a bunch of lawyers, to point that out early on. But that's important. I think that, and by the way, the dedication of it to these children is heart-wrenching. Because it begins with a little description and story of each one of these children who were murdered. And it's just shocking. It's shocking that we're throwing billions at schools and having kids graduate, Matt, who can't read and write worth a darn, don't know anything about the country, don't know how the government works. Then you get into something like this that ought to be straightforward, where they spent tons of money on training and plans, and then none of it was used. And even the teachers themselves didn't carry out the daily rules for security. So it's tough on everybody. Matt Crowe, thank you so very much for your time.
You bet, Robert.
Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.